Welcome to the producer's commentary for Emergence. My name is LT. I'm here with my brother Brian.
Yo.
And we are Triphonic. So we're going to talk a little bit about the making of the album and about the creative process that we went through making it. So we started recording Emergence in February 2007 and we finished up in December. So it was about 10, 11 months of solid recording and working on the album. This was our first album, so it was a new experience for both of us and a different challenge than what we've been used to working on, say, film scores or remix contests, things like that, where there's a defined deadline and a certain set of parameters that you're working within. It really took us about 5 or 6 months to even figure out what direction we were going with the album and what we were gonna end up having for a finished product. It was kind of funny, the first couple songs that we worked on were basically indie rock songs, and that's what we thought we were making, was a rock album. But what would happen is that we'd get to a certain point with those tracks, and we'd inevitably hit a point where it was sounding pretty good, but not quite as good as we wanted it to. And so we'd leave it alone, sometimes for several months, come back to those tracks, and we would start remixing them. And they would, of course, end up going in a different direction than where we had started, but in a good way. And that's how we gradually got to the sound that you hear now on the album.
Yeah, those first 5 or 6 months were sort of frustrating because, you know, we thought we were going in one direction and it just wasn't turning out right. And we actually thought the album would take only 4 or 5 months, maybe maximum 6 months to record, but it ended up taking more like a year. But all of that stuff in the beginning was very useful. Even if it ended up sounding different, we sort of were able to create a palette of sounds that then we used in the final versions of the tracks and in the later tracks, and it made it actually quicker to write as we went on.
So in terms of the palette of sounds, I just want to quickly discuss what the main sources were for the sounds that we used on Emergence. A lot of our sounds came from live instruments or field recordings or vocals that we would record and make into sample kits. So a lot of it was Brian playing guitar, electric and acoustic, recording a piano, doing field recordings in the neighborhood of just ambient sounds. When we recorded vocalists, sometimes taking some of those sessions and chopping out notes and basically creating a bunch of sample instruments. And we use that to create the bulk of the melodic elements that you hear on the album, a lot of the percussion as well, and all the ambient sounds in the background. Then for a lot of the bass sounds and some of the melodies and some of the drum and percussion sounds, we used synths like the Virus TI and some of the Logic software synths. We also used a few sample CDs for drums, like Sean Lee's Planet of the Breaks, and those were a great source for getting sort of vinyl sample drum sounds, and we basically would just take the loops from those and chop them up and make them into kits and reprogram the patterns that we wanted, and that's basically it.
So I'm going to talk a little bit about the gear we have at the studio here. We recorded the album in our home studio, and it's based around a G5, and we run Logic Pro on there. And we also have an OS9 G4 Macintosh that we run Logic 6 on, and that we do. That's where we do a lot of the sound design work and editing and whatnot. And Logic is sort of a centerpiece of the studio. That's where most of the work is done. We record into Logic, do the editing in there, use the EXS24 sampler for sampling most of the stuff. And then also a lot of the synth sounds are actually created within Logic as well, especially using the Logic Sculpture, the physical modeling synth. And, you know, it's built-in plugins and whatnot. The main hardware synth we have is the Axis Virus TI, and that's where we get the rest of synthetic sounds. It's a beautiful synth, and it's capable of creating all sorts of, you know, any kind of digital synthetic sound. And for a sort of special one-off synth sounds, we have a Roland Juno Alpha, which is infamous for creating the Hoover sound. from early techno. And we have a Roland SH-09, which is just an old analog synth, and it's very nice. It has a really great analog filter on it. And for special effects, we have just a cassette tape recorder, and we also have two reel-to-reel tapes. And it's nice sometimes to run things through that just to get sort of a warmer sound. It's pretty lo-fi, but it gives it a little character and grittiness. And you know, that's, I think if you listen to our stuff, you can hear that sort of the grit and some warmth in there. But if you want to check out more details on our gear, you can check it out on our website. We list everything we have.
So now that we've given you a little bit of an overview on the creative process and the setup that we have here, we're going to go through each of the tracks on Emergence and talk a little bit about each one.
First track on the album, Emergence, really embodies the sound and the themes of the rest of the album, hence it's the title track. We were really trying to capture the feelings of nature, growth, and rebirth, as well as the complex relationship between man and nature and technology. The point wasn't really to pass judgment or have any particular, you know, slant on this relationship, but more to just explore the different aspects and conflict and the harmony of sort of those things.
This track also got us thinking about the concept of emergence and how it relates to our music. So emergence is basically this idea of order out of chaos, and that a lot of the complex patterns and structures and behaviors that you see in nature are the result of a bunch of smaller independent actions that sort of give rise to something more complex. Definitely encourage you to read more about it on Wikipedia or even on our website. We have a little more about it. But anyway, we started to see some connections between this idea of emergence and this track specifically, but also that emergence could kind of describe in a lot of ways how we make music. So that's why we came up with the title Emergence, and also why this is the title track.
A lot of the sounds that you hear in the song Emergence are permutations of a few samples. So there's a number of somewhat chaotic and seemingly unstructured elements that sort of later take on new purposes in the track. One of the main elements in the track is the piano sounds, and we spent a portion of a day sampling the piano that we have here at the house, and we made sample kits of it and spent a while sort of, you know, time stretching and processing the samples and just coming up with cool sounds that are, you know, or it sounds like a piano, but it's not just like a straightforward piano. It could be, some of them even sound kind of noisy, like just have this like high pitched, like graininess to it. So everything you heard there is all from the piano. That's from sort of the beginning section of the track. And you can hear sort of there's a disintegrating pattern that I sort of brought out at the end. And that's just, I sort of copied a slice of the piano sample and then just made the length shorter each time. So it just sounds like it's disintegrating away. Another thing I wanted to point out was some of the guitar sounds that come in. And you'll hear here, there's just some arpeggiated guitar, and it gets increasingly more complex, and then you have it sort of sampled and gated on top of itself, and you can hear the echoes now, and soon there's sort of a little vocal pad that comes in that just gives it that organic humanness to it. So in order to create some of these sounds, I ended up taking the guitar part and spreading it out, the different notes of it on multiple different tracks, and on each of those tracks putting different effects, like different delays and reverbs and, you know, flanges and whatnot. So, and panning it different directions too, so it just creates this sort of complex guitar scape, but it's more or less out of, you know, two or three guitar parts. but I think it sounds really nice. The other part I want to talk about was the very end, which is coming in right here. And there's this like screeching sound you can hear right there. And basically that was just a bass sound that I had that was, you know, complex sort of modulated bass sound. And I had it running through Logic's vocal transformer. And you can have that like lock it to a pitch where it will retune the note to just a pitch. And I had it set to something that was, you know, a couple octaves higher than the original bass note. So it's just freaking out trying to track the pitch. And so it just, it sort of gave it that really interesting screeching sound. So, I don't know, thought that was pretty cool.
So the second track on the album is called Broken, and this was one of the first songs that we started working on and one of the last ones that we finished. This is actually a perfect example of what we were talking about before, where we would start a track and then end up remixing it, and it would become something very different. So the part you hear in the background now, this part that comes in at the end of the track, sort of Massive Attack-like bassline part, that was originally the basis of the whole track, and we had Amelia come in and record her vocals to that, and it sounded pretty good, but it wasn't quite there. And actually for a while there we thought that it might not end up on the album and that we might not ever come back and actually finish it, but I'm glad that we did, because I think it turned out really well, and it's actually one of my favorite tracks on the album.
Yeah, I agree. It's one of my favorites too, and it was nice just because at the end of the process we were able to come back to Broken with a whole, you know, collection of sounds that we had recorded from doing the rest of the tracks first, and bring that to it. And it just took a few days to sort of do a remix and pull it together, and yeah, ended up really great. So the third track, Parks on Fire, was kind of a turning point in the writing process, because this was one of the tracks that we completed in the first half when we the writing process, when we were still kind of struggling for a direction. And I feel like for me that this really sort of defined the direction of the album. And it, you know, even now, like having it done, I still feel like it's kind of the quintessential triphonic sound. It definitely has that feeling of nature and growth. And especially that end section with it, when the acoustic guitars come in, and it's sort of unexpected, and the sound sort of rip apart, and it reminds me of things growing out of the ground. And one of the particular sounds that I like in it was a sound that I made in Sculpture, the physical modeling synth in Logic, and you can hear it in the background now, and it's, it sort of sounds like a marble rolling around, but it sounds like familiar, like an instrument you might hear, but at the same time it's very bizarre too, and so I really like that, and that's one of the things I really like about Sculpture. The other interesting section, and I'll play for it, just the guitars sort of soloed by themselves, and actually there's some piano and stuff in there too, is at the very end, like I was saying before, when the acoustic guitars come in, and it's an acoustic guitar in reverse, and then you can hear they've got the guitar harmonics, a couple of tracks of just harmonics playing. And what I try to do was, as soon as any new sound came in, drop out the others, so sort of it's this, you know, weaving in and out of the different guitar sounds. And then, you know, they'll stop and a little piano hit will come in. And so it's sort of interesting. And towards the end, again, so we added, once we added more layers to it, it's not completely woven where everything stops with every new sound. But anyway, you can hear a bit of that weaving sort of in the background here.
Fourth track, Infiltration, I think is a really great example of how ambient sounds and the little details can really define a song. Infiltration has a beat and a bass line and some of the other elements you'd expect on a track, but to me it's the ambiences that really make it special. The ambiences are sold in the background right now, so you can hear that vocal note, which was actually from a session from an unused track that we just pulled out. There's the sounds of like a little like paper cutting and sounds from a payphone, like the coin dropping and the phone hanging up. There's a piano note that comes in at certain points as well. There's also a little sound that kind of sounds like a breath, which you can hear right there. And that was actually created by Brian and I yelling into the sound hole of an acoustic guitar. And we recorded the echo of the voices reverberating in the sound hole and against the strings. And we basically chopped off the attack of that and just left the echo. And we made a cool little kit out of that that was great that we used in this song and also in some of the other ones, just as a little ambience.
So the fifth track, Lies, is kind of fun because we ended up sort of running around the house recording various sounds of doors closing, washer and dryer, opening bottles, just any sort of clicking sound, percussive things, because at that point I think we were just getting tired of the samples that we already had or the samples we'd already made for percussion. So just wanted to, you know, vary it up. So in the background here you can hear all these clicks. And actually, you can hear the sound of like the filament of a light bulb rattling, sort of panning back and forth. But anyway, all this stuff you're hearing in the background was household sounds, just us banging on things. And I mean, there were some ridiculous sounds that we didn't end up using, but it was definitely fun. And the only thing that's sort of added in there that's not, you know, from our house is that you can hear there's sort of like a 808 or 909 type kick that's underneath me pounding on the railing of the stairwell, and it created this deep bass sound, but it didn't really quite have enough bottom end to live by itself, so it sort of ended up being combined with an 808. This song, actually, it's sort of funny. This is one of the first songs we worked on as well, and so it started out totally different. And it's here it is coming in the background. And this is actually the version that Amelia recorded her vocals to. So this is the very first little rough demo we had back when it was like a rock song. Take a second and listen to it. It's definitely a lot different. So we had the acoustic drums in there, more guitars. So there's still some of the parts remain the same, but just the context is different. You know, we just definitely changed the groove and sort of changed the feeling of it. I mean, we both like this that's playing in the background now, but it just, you know, it didn't sound necessarily original enough or exactly where we wanted to go. It just sort of was we felt it was a little better than mediocre, but it definitely inspired a really cool track. The sixth track, Transgenic, is it actually has what LT was talking about earlier, when you know we did a session sampling, yelling into the sound hole of the guitar and cutting out the yells and just getting the reverberation. You can hear those in the background now, and also on top of that is sort of like a bell sound that's mixed in there with it. The other interesting thing about this track is. That sort of sounds like a electric violin was a bass guitar being bowed and then run through those, it's the Mike Norris Spectral plugins. They're free and they're awesome. And then, you know, we sort of for the vocals on this, it was, I did some vocal pads where it just sang through like a long reverb chain, and it has a distortion in there too. That's sort of what gives it the grit. And then I actually doubled it an octave higher too, and that's sort of gives it some of the depth. And so it's sort of, I think it's a really beautiful track. It's one of our favorites. And it definitely sort of, I think it embodies that feeling of growth and just has this, I don't know, reproductive quality to it. And sort of it's a good sort of, it's basically the halfway point of the album.
The seventh track on the album is called Sooner or Later, and we got Christina Corton in the studio to do vocals for this one. She's a great singer-songwriter in New York who also happens to be our cousin, and she's someone that we've wanted to work with for a long time and just haven't had a chance to, and this was finally the opportunity. So one of the interesting things that you can hear at the beginning of the song and also throughout is these background vocals. And basically when Christina was in the studio, we had her record a bunch of different sort of vocal melodies and notes, and she tried a bunch of different patterns. We ended up taking those later and making some sample kits out of them and replaying these patterns that you hear now. And so it turned out really nice.
Another interesting thing about this track was some of the guitar sounds in there that were sort of pads, that was their function, beyond sort of the lead guitar melody that happens in the chorus. Like what you're hearing right now is the guitar run through a reverb, and then, again, like I mentioned earlier, those Mike Norris Spectral plugins, which are free audio unit. I think they might also be VST, I'm not sure. But just sort of stretches the sound out in this really smooth way, and it's a whole suite of plugins. But we sampled the stretched out sounds onto the keyboard and played them just as pads. But it has this coherence with the rest of the guitars in the track because that's the source. So sometimes it's nice to use, you know, elements already in the track and then treat them and use them as a different element. So using a guitar melody line and then changing it into a pad and whatnot, have it play against each other. So the eighth track, Vacuum Tree, is sort of interesting. It's actually in 7/4. So, you know, it's a unique time signature, but I think what also makes the track kind of cool is some of the sounds that just are subtle in the background, like not the main bass line or melody and beat, but what's playing in the background now is some of the harmonics, which just give it a real feeling. And then I've got sort of those, like some of those like it sounds like it's a race car driving by, bass sounds, and with a lot of delay and echo, and it just gives it a certain mood, and that sort of inspired everything else that goes with it, and it just gives it sort of a certain presence, and then it works nicely with, like, you know, the beats and the rest of it. So the tracks Terminal A and B, which is tracks 9 and 10, are sort of go together. They use a lot of the same sounds. Actually, it was made from the same session as Broken. So if you listen to all those side by side, you'll hear a little similarities in some of the sounds. Anyway, Terminal A is probably the most defining part is the bass line, the big wobbly. And it's made of two different parts. There's like a really low, deep sub that sort of sucks in. It hits with the kick drum, so the attack of the bass is actually pretty slow, so that they don't really interfere with each other. And then the second part of the bass is sort of that wobbly top part that's more active. And I sort of spread that out on a couple different tracks so that certain notes just have, you know, a reverb hit and just or have like one special effect on it. And that sort of gives it a unique character. And Also that bass line was pretty much just made out of audio. I didn't play it actually on a synth or anything like that. It was just taking sort of a grungy, like detuned 808 sample and pitching it around in Logic, just in the sample editor, like making a couple different notes, and then using in Pro Tools and OS9, there's some time stretch and like pitch sliding plugins, like there's Wave Mechanics Speed, for example, and so I could do sort of the portamento leading between the notes with that, and some of those wobbling sounds is just automation, volume automation. So it was definitely time consuming, but the amount of control that I had, you know, making the bass in audio, it was pretty cool. You can't just play that sort of thing on a synth. Track 10, Terminal B, has the lonely abandoned warehouse feeling to it. And it definitely has a cinematic, very visual element to it. There's a lot of sort of field recording sounds in there as well. You can hear sort of the Bay Area Rapid Transit train, the BART train, in the background right now. And it just, I don't know, it made me think of the Oakland Port, which is just at night you drive by it and it's just like rows and rows of empty containers, and there's these huge cranes that lift the containers off the ships, and has this sort of apocalyptic, lonely feeling to it. And I think that's really sort of embodied in the pad sounds in the track. And the main pad sound was actually made from a harp pluck, which is also in the track, and we ran it through Reactor's Grain Synth version 1.3. And it's just a granulizer, but it also has, you know, filters and reverb. And it's really nice. Also, there's the sound of a dog barking that I ran through Grain Synth as well, and it just stretches it out. Sounds just, I don't know, sounds vaguely like a dog, but it's weird. So track 11, Good Enough, sort of completes the journey of the album, and it's sort of like a, you know, that's, we try to make the vocals sound like they're off some distant record that, you know, you found in your closet or something like that from many years ago, and it just it's sort of a Requiem kind of sounding piece, and in the background now you can hear some of the pads that were the original basis of the track. Actually, LT took some of the piano sounds and made pads out of them, and that sort of inspired the basis of the rest of the track. And then you can also hear that we've got our sort of typical telephone sounds that pop up in a lot of the tracks, but this one's, you know, turned out really beautiful, and you know, it's a lot of the same palette of sounds that we used on the other tracks earlier in the album. Same pads and some of the same little vocal hits and things like that. And another interesting element in this track is this is the only track that has a nylon string classical guitar in it. And you can hear that in the background right now. And I'm sort of doing a little, my best Gypsy Kings impersonation as possible. No, it's just, it ended up being a nice texture and something that, you know, I thought added to it and I hadn't really done before. And so, but it's cool. So I think it's an interesting feel. You know, we also sort of took the, like, dubstep type beat, maybe a little bit influenced by Burial, that sort of rhythm in the track, and I think it's it's definitely cool. And then at the very end there's a sort of an ambient like outro section that again is a lot of that's those Mike Norris spectral plugins, and some of it's bowed electric bass and then guitars through that, and just sort of have it panning all over the place, and it's one of my favorite moments, and we were saving it for the end of the record. We knew that we're like, oh, this, because it's sort of, we had these pads in the background that are playing now just as its own little piece, and we knew, we're like, all right, this has to end the record. It's so cool. So we finally sort of found a way to integrate it all into this song, and it worked nicely, and it's a good sort of end cap to the or ending to the album.
Well, that does it for the producer's commentary on Emergence. Thanks for listening, and thanks for checking out our music. We really appreciate it. And make sure to keep an eye on our website, triphonic.com, for more information on our music and for updates in the future.